Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Okay, this is a beautiful passage that fits this sort of transfigurative moment. It is the story of the transfiguration from Matthew's Gospel, the 17th chapter. But before we approach it, let's pray together. Join me as you find the words printed in your bulletin.
As a child rests in its mother's arms, so will I rest in you. As a child rests in its mother's arms, so will I rest in you.
Tune your ears to this word. Here we go. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, or his brother John, and led them to a high mountain by themselves. And Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Peter, James, and John climb up that mountain with Jesus. Just imagine it. Sunny day like today, maybe. Their muscles are aching, but the upward exertion lightens their hearts. The higher they go, the more exciting the view is. There's a break in the trees. They can see the town below, roads running like veins, patches of garden and farm, mostly desert. The sky reaches across the ground from horizon to horizon like a cerulean bowl shining. Tired muscles are tingling to life. They're making their way up this mountain. They don't know why. Jesus has just said, "Come on," and they are accustomed to following him. He asked them to, and they wouldn't miss it for the world. In the valley below, though, just 6 days before this moment, Jesus had told his disciples that if anyone wants to be my followers, they must deny themselves, take their cross, and follow me. Crosses? Peter, James, and John are making their way up that mountain, and words like crosses seem farther and farther away from them, and they are glad as they get higher and higher, and that valley becomes more distant. Just 6 days prior to this moment, Jesus had told his disciples, "Those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake, they will find it." Death? Death, this talk is nonsensical. As Peter and James and John make their way up that twisted mountain path, blood pumps new life to tired muscles, and the brightening view of the distant sea lifts their heaviness of heart, takes their breath away. Up here, Jesus is going to be in a better mood. Jesus is going to stop talking about such things as death and crosses. The mountaintop's going to do him good, this retreat. He'll stop talking about that, talk about more uplifting things, no more cross, no more death. Jesus was off his game 6 days ago when he was talking that line down in the valley. Mountaintop experiences take us away from life's difficulties. Mountaintop experiences, whether they're on real mountaintops or at some seashore or a lake or just out in the middle of some field, mountaintop experiences give us a vacation from the daily grind. We've risen above the mundane in those moments. You've been there before. You know what I'm talking about. We've shucked off the things that weigh us down, crosses, death, all that negative talk. To be on a spiritual mountaintop is to catch a glimpse of what we might call heaven. On the mountaintop, you delight in things that you might otherwise take for granted, things that you see in the ordinary, but that you miss. The impressionistic view of a sunset, for example. Somehow it looks different on the mountain. Somehow when you're able to let some other stuff go, you see things differently, more beautifully. Treetops tugged in the wind, hawks climbing and rising on unseen thermals. Mountaintop experience. It's a thin place, the mountain, a thin place where the unfiltered beauty of heaven and earth overlap. Lost people find themselves on mountaintops. Mountaintops in Scripture are holy places. It was on Mount Horeb that Moses took off his shoes and stood before that burning bush. It was on Mount Sinai that Moses received the law. It was on Mount Nebo where he crawled up and could look down and see the promised land below him. The psalmist compares the God of righteousness to a mountain, and Jesus went up to a mountain not long ago, seven, eight, nine chapters ago, and he preached on that mountain, a sermon we now call the Sermon on the Mount. And now, Jesus has taken Peter, James, and John up this high mountain. What happens next is mind-blowing, of course. There's new clothes going on here. There's a set change. Jesus becomes white. His face glows like the sun. His clothes glow. Elijah and Moses show up, and they start talking with Jesus. And Peter doesn't want to leave. He says, "What do you say? I put up some residences for small houses, as it were, one for Elijah, one for Moses, one for you, Jesus." Peter doesn't want this glorious moment to end. And that's how it is for all of us on the mountaintop. We don't want it to end. Wouldn't it be great to live here, we say, when we're on vacation, whether that's in Urbana or in Paris, some mountain somewhere. Wouldn't it be great just to put down roots here, not go back, leave the dog sitter and the dog, cut ties with the kids? They don't need us anymore. Wouldn't it be great just to stay right here to capture this? Let's put down roots. This is how we feel about the moment in our stadium when our team wins the championship. Oh, wow, what a feeling that is. What a feeling that is. We don't want it to end. The doctor gives us good news when our beloved comes out of surgery. Good news. We could bottle that feeling. We just don't want that feeling to end. When a grandchild is sleeping on our knee, we could stay there forever. We could stay there forever. Many of them weren't easier, by the way. When things were better, when the world was right, and churches really fall prey to this idea of living in the past, so much so that they forget to live in the present at all. Remember youth club? Remember when we were young? Remember when Reverend so-and-so would preach those eloquent sermons? Remember when the church was full? Remember when so-and-so was still alive? Remember how so-and-so cooked meals for us? We don't want to leave. We've been to the mountaintop. We've been to the mountaintop, and if we ever get there again, we just don't want to leave it. But we must. We can't stay on the mountain. If we do, the mountain is no longer the mountain. We've got to come down. The disciples heard the voice of God on the mountaintop. This is my son, my beloved. With him I am well pleased. And if you don't believe in the humor of Scripture, listen to the next line. God says, listen to him. Oh, they're listening. They're listening. Peter, James, and John, we read, fall on the ground. They're cowering in fear. And Jesus does three things. What does he do? He touches them. He says to them, don't be afraid. And then he leads them down the mountain, back to the valley. The mountaintop is where we are inspired for ministry. The mountaintop is where we catch a glimpse. The mountaintop is where we catch fire. But more often than not, ministry happens in the valley, not on the mountaintop. Ministry happens when we get back to our lives. Ministry happens when we reconnect with all the things we left behind, with family and with jobs and with neighbors and neighborhoods. Ministry doesn't happen on the mountain. We're prepared for it there, but ministry happens in the valley. The disciples, they can't stay on that mountaintop because Jesus has more work to do. And Jesus has said, I need you. I've called you. Follow me. Could it be that Jesus needs us to do this work to which we're called in the valley? On Main Street in Hessel Park, across town. So thanks be to God for mountaintops. Thanks be to God for them. Thanks be to God for those times when we're able to somehow rise above, when we're taken up by a power beyond our own control, by the grace of God, when we're surrounded by it, when we're lifted by it, when we're steeled by it, when we're able to float up as a Chagall painting on our backs through a blue sky, pondering the stars. That thanks be to God for the mountaintop, that God leads us to places of renewal and of restoration. Thanks be to God to that place where we disengage from the world. The world is beautiful, but we need to disengage from it, from our own lives, from time to time. We need to retreat. Thanks be to God for the mountain where we can find retreat, where we can step away. We all need the gifts of the mountaintop, so thanks be to God for the mountain. God inspires us there. But Jesus leads us not only up to the mountaintop Sabbath, but down to the work week of ministry. Peter, James, and John, they're all fishermen, and they would understand this saying, ships are safe in the harbor, but that's not what ships are for. They would understand that. That we are called as ships, maybe not a great metaphor, not to be parked in some slip in some harbor, but to be out on the sea doing what ships do. Likewise, we are called to come down from the mountain. We're not called to build booths. We're not called to make it last forever. We're called to remember it, yes, but we're called to harness that spiritual thin place and bring it with us, because we're going to need it in the valley. Having caught a glimpse of God's glory, we come down renewed and revigorated and recharged. But it's in the valley that disciples of every age have to make sense of what Jesus means by follow me and take up your cross. We find life and death in the valley. We find injustice. We find poverty. We find exclusion. We find a bunch of things that need broken. We find that God is calling us to stand and kneel in the breach. We're called to give our coins and our money and our hearts. There's a lot of work to do in the valley. It's a world of hurt, a world of hurt that we find in the valley. But we have seen the light, and the light guides our steps. Thanks be to God for the mountaintop. But we're not called to live there. We're called to come down. In a few moments, I'll climb down out of this pulpit, and we'll all climb down those stairs on an elevator or under our own steam, and we'll go out from this church building, which is a safe, thin place, a mountaintop place. Many of you get your only good sleep here on Sunday mornings. But we'll leave this place, and as we do, Jesus touches our shoulder, and he says, yes, you have a lot to be afraid of, but don't. Don't buy into those fears. Don't be afraid. And he'll take our hand, and he'll lead us out. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.